Parramatta Baptist Church family. You know, here we are again on this emotional roller coaster that is COVID lockdown. I want to share with you, before we get into worship today, I want to share with you a poem that Colleen Alford wrote just the day that lockdown started, because I think it captures something of how we feel. Another outbreak, another string of cancellations, a cascading chorus of no and not yet. Uncertainty, once again, a harrowing shadow. Now a predator rising. It moves and devours favourite morsels of normality and connection, like termites in a seemingly stable house. Our core vulnerable, and yet God, all-powerful, all-knowing. Peace surpasses understanding, a refuge in times of trouble. This my prayer, to know His unchanging, to live His grace, to wrestle with hope in the midst of pain, swapping I can for You are, my relentless Redeemer. Thanks, Cole. You know, I love that as followers of Jesus, we can acknowledge the pain and the disappointment and the frustration of this time, and yet we choose to fix our eyes afresh on what God has done and who He is. And as we enter into a time of worship today, that's exactly what we're going to do. Ben, you have a story of celebration to share with us.
Yeah, I'm here to give God glory. So on our Friday night in our youth ministry, hopefully you guys know this, I know you do, Kathy, that we love to share Jesus with young people. We've got a bunch of young people who already have a relationship with Jesus, but we also have a whole bunch of young people who don't know Him. So we're on the front line sharing the gospel with these young people, and we're passionate about it. We're excited to do it and be a part of it. On the last 3 weeks of our term, we did a series where we just broke down, this is who Jesus is, this is what the gospel is, this is the good news for you. And on that last week of term, 24 hours before we locked down, we gave our young people a space to respond, a space to own it and say, hey, I'm in to having a relationship with Jesus. And we're so excited. We're still riding the wave. We're still celebrating that on that night, 9 young people gave their lives to Jesus. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Which is celebrating like crazy, because God is good, hey? And on the Friday night, just after the evening and all the young people had gone home, our leaders just came around and we just spent some time sharing the stories. And as the stories kept on coming, we just kept on going, wow, God is good. Like, we couldn't do any of this. God is good. And He transforms lives. And we're just so privileged to be in His midst, to know our God and to serve our God in this way. Yeah, exactly. So right now, I just invite you to come into this space of exalting our God, worshiping Him, because He is worthy of our praises, the one who reigns above.
So I want to introduce to you Santos and Rebecca, who are now part of our PBC family and coming to our 5:30 service. I just want to say welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you're from Nepal. Tell us briefly about the kind of things that you were doing before leaving Nepal.
So, yes, we are from Nepal, and before coming to Australia in last March 2020, we were serving in a church. I was leading the church and Rebecca was helping me. Besides that, I was working as a project coordinator and also a team leader for one of the mission organization called Baptist Global Response. And so one of the job of that organization is to meet the physical and spiritual need of the people, going to the community, try to help the people out there and share the love of Christ through His word.
And I was also working with Baptist Global Response as a community health trainer, training coordinator, and going out in villages, Nepalese villages, and training churches, and especially women and children, and also training people in the community to open the door for pastors, leaders, and missionaries to go out and share gospel.
Wow, that's fantastic. And as you said, you came to Australia in March last year. And so you mentioned when we spoke this week that you had to leave your country quite quickly. And so you didn't get a chance for proper farewells. You found yourself in Australia in Sydney, going into lockdown, not knowing anyone, in quarantine. Tell us about what that experience was like and how God provided for you.
After coming here, we have to go for 14 days of quarantine. It was a very difficult time for us emotionally and also spiritually, because we were inside the house, room, and different country, different culture. Everything was, we were struggling a lot. And our friends and family back home, they introduced us to new friends here in Australia. So we felt like God provided us friends and family here, and also open door for us.
Actually, we got to meet, got to know one of the church members from Paramount Baptist Church. They are Jody and Lois Kobo, from one of our common friend, and they introduced us to the Hatfield family, and that's how we came to know about Paramount Baptist Church, and that's how our friendship grew, and they helped us a lot emotionally and also physically in our needs when we didn't have job and we didn't have anyone to go and share our feelings at that time. So it was a great support, and God provided us in an unexpected way that we never imagined that we would have friends here and we would be able to connect with our church family here. So yeah.
That's so beautiful, and I'm so glad for how God has provided for you, and emotionally as well as other ways. So now you're settled in Australia. Santosh, you are working with INF 3 days a week. Tell us what INF do and what you particularly are doing there as well.
I work for INF, which is International Nepal Fellowship. I'm working there as a Nepal program officer, and I work there 3 days a week. So INF is one of the longest serving NGO in Nepal, established in 1950s. So they are INF, along with another organization, were the pioneer organization who built the basis for Christian and missionaries to go out and share the love of Christ and meet the physical and spiritual need of people. So INF at this time is doing a lot of community work there. So my job is to look after those community development projects and facilitate those projects to our partners in Nepal, and help to meet the physical and spiritual need of Nepalese people.
And of course, one of the physical needs right now is that there's been another wave of COVID, particularly coming into Nepal from India. And so INF is working in a range of ways to actually bring relief there, partnering with hospitals, frontline workers, and providing trauma care as well. And I just wanted to say that Parramatta Baptist is coming alongside INF and will be supporting, giving $4,000 toward that work of relieving suffering through COVID as well through INF. And so in addition to your work with INF, you're also joining Power to Change 2 days a week. So tell us about what you'll be doing with Power to Change.
Yeah, this is a very exciting work and journey for me, because since we came here in Australia, our heart has always been to see, because after coming to Australia, we realized that there are more than 70,000 Nepalese just in Sydney. And there are a lot of students coming from South Asian background and studying here. So our heart was always, you know, like how we can reach them. So Power to Change has provided us that opportunity to reach out Nepalese and South Asian students. So my job will be to reach out Nepalese students, being more particular about it, and also the South Asian students who come from, because we share very common culture. And so through Power to Change, I will be doing a lot of outreach and gospel sharing activities with these students.
Just fantastic. And of course, the reason you came to Australia was, Rebecca, that you were going to do some further study. So you're doing a master's in public health, and you desire for God to use that in the longer term as well. So what are some of the ways that you hope that he might use that?
Because when I see now, like even in my class, classmates, most of them, they are Nepalese. 80% of them are Nepalese, and God has provided me that opportunity to show a love of God and also tell them about Jesus. And also not only to my classmates, most of them are married and they have partner and husband, and me, Santos, and me as a couple, we also have many opportunity to reach out them as a couple, and sometimes we invite them over, sometimes we go to visit them, and we organize a special cultural events and celebrate together. So my study has also become a platform, a base for us to reach out those Nepalese students.
Just fantastic. And you've also, since coming to Australia, learned of Bible Discovery Method as well, BDM.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, it is a wonderful thing that we have been doing to encourage each other. Especially we are a group of ladies, and we started with three people, and Christine from our PVC is leading the group, and started with three, now we are growing day by day. We have we have a friend who has never been exposed to Christian community, never been to church. We have a friend who was a Christian before but backslided. And also one of our friend who is a part of our Discovery Bible study, she has started studying Bible with her husband. And now it's amazing to see how God is using this Bible study method to encourage people and also form community.
I love sitting with you and talking with you, because you ooze the love of Jesus, and I can hear your heart to want to share him wherever God has put you, that you're just wanting to share, make friendships and share Jesus with people. And I just want to bless you in that. And I'm so glad that you're part of our PBC family. And I'm so glad that into the future we will get to walk with God together and to learn from one another and to encourage one another as we seek to share Christ. So bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Remembering. There's two Bible readings today. The first one comes from Psalm 105, verse 1 to 7. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. The second Bible reading comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you who were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Welcome to Church Online as we continue our series on some of the things that God asks us to do. He asks us to be content, he asks us to listen, and today we're going to talk about how God asks us to remember. Now, I'm really excited today because I'm doing this sermon with Kayla. Now, we're going to do a separate sermon on this Sunday. As it works out, we're going to record together. So I'm really pleased about that. First things first, congratulations to you and Nick on your engagement.
Thank you.
Fantastic news. Really good. Yeah. So how are we going to start today?
So to get started, why don't you pause now and have a think about what you find easy to remember. So when we look at the word remember in the dictionary, it says to remember is to have in or be able to bring to one's mind an awareness of someone or something from the past. So this obviously feels like a very standard definition of the word, I know when I hear that, I think about being at school with my geography flashcards and trying to memorize all these terms for my exam. But when we look at the Bible, the word remember is actually a much more broader term. It's not simply this act of mentally remembering something, but it comes with an action. It's like when you have a friend and you tell yourself you're going to see them, but you don't actually message them. You don't reach out. You don't try and see them. And you just keep telling yourself that you're going to see them. Eventually, you don't see them. And then the relationship doesn't continue because you haven't actually acted upon what you wanted to do.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. It's like I could remember what Kathy and I's wedding anniversary is, but if I do nothing about it, then what's the point? Or, today is my niece's birthday when we're recording this, and so I don't just remember her birthday, but I send her a text this morning wishing her a happy birthday. So it does. It has this active component to this more than just a memory. It's an active remembering of something. Yeah, absolutely. Earlier on, you asked us to think about something that was easy to remember. What is it for you?
Yeah, I think I find it very easy to remember people's outfits, particularly my own outfits at certain significant events. And I also find it quite easy to remember what people have told me in conversation.
Yeah, I think for me, it's numbers. I remember phone numbers. I remember dates of birth. I even remember bank account, credit card numbers just off by heart. I just find them easy to remember. Bit strange, I know, but true. Yeah. Well, there are three things. When we've looked through Scripture, we're going to talk about three things that it teaches us. But we looked at a lot of stories. Was there a story about remembering that really stood out for you?
Yeah, I think the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel stood out for me. So Hannah can't have children, but she really wants them. And it says in 1 Samuel that she's in her deep anguish. She prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life and no razor will ever be used on his head. So it says Hannah keeps on praying out to God, and the people around her think she's drunk because she's just in a very prayerful state. And then it says, early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Hannah's husband made love to his wife Hannah and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. So I think that's really cool because God remembered her and acted by giving her son Samuel.
Yeah.
Was there a significant story for you, Steve?
Yeah, I loved a lot of them. Probably the one I really enjoyed was the story of Noah, and perhaps you know the story of Noah in terms of God tells Noah to build an ark because he's bringing judgment. He'll bring a great flood to the earth. And so the flood has happened. Noah is in the ark together with his family and with the animals. And in chapter 8, it says, but God remembered Noah. And I love that concept. You know, here's a guy floating in a big ark in a flooded earth. And it's not like God just goes, oh, that's right, Noah, he's still in the ark. But there's a sense in which God remembers Noah. And it says that and all the animals. And he sends a wind and the waters recede. So God's remembering of Noah causes him to actually bring relief to the flood. The story of Noah goes on as well. And you may understand too that God makes a relationship, a covenant between himself and Noah, but not just between him and Noah, but between all of creation. And the sign of that covenant is a rainbow in the sky. And and again, he just says, God says, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making. And he says, whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears, I will remember my covenant. A covenant between me and you and living creatures of all kind, that never again will I destroy life on this earth. So, yeah, so that story really stood out for me.
Yeah. So from these two stories, we see two things. We first notice that God notices us in our brokenness, in our needs. We see this particularly in Hannah. She is crying out in deep anguish. She really wants this child. And God sees her. He notices her in that moment. And he remembers her. and he acts by giving her Samuel.
Yeah, yeah. And you see that in the story of Noah as well, that, you know, obviously Noah has a need and all the animals have a need, and God responds just with this, I remember and I act according to what your needs are.
Mm.
Yeah. What was the other thing that comes out of, I think, Hannah's particularly in terms of that?
We see that God listens to our prayers and he responds according to his plan. So Hannah, was obviously praying a lot to the Lord and was trusting that he was listening to her. And then he responds by, allowing her to fall pregnant.
Mm. And I imagine that Noah may well have been praying that the waters would be receiving as well. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Mm. And so there's another thing we also see from these, from God about remembering, is that God does not remember our sins when we confess them. So Hebrews 8 verse 12 says, "For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." So I think that's pretty crazy to think that God, who's all-knowing, can forget something, yet he does. When we confess our sins, when we give them to the Lord, he forgives us and he wipes away our sins.
Mm. Yeah, so this is the first thing we see from Scripture, that God remembers us. But the flip side of that is that we are called to remember God as well. This is a two-way thing that's going on. God remembers us, but we're also called to remember him. We see this in, again, a couple of different places. Where it struck me was in the book of Deuteronomy. So Moses is standing before God's people. They've been brought out of slavery, and they're about to enter into the promised land. And what Moses does is he has this very long sermon calling them to remember, to remember. And so we read in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 5, Moses says to them, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." He says it again in Deuteronomy 15, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you." In Deuteronomy chapter 8, again, Moses says, "Be very careful to follow every command I'm giving you so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the promised land. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. And again, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. And again, at the end of, still in chapter 8, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." That's the Old Testament story. You had one from the New Testament as well.
Yeah, so we see in Ephesians that we are also called to remember God in Ephesians 2 from verse 11. It says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ."
So there are a number of things in which we're called to remember about God. The first is that we are called to remember who God is, like just the very nature of who he is, that God is good. He is perfectly good. He is forgiving. He is gracious and kind. He is a God of justice, a God of compassion. This word, unfailing love, that is who he is. He's a God of love. And so in the Psalms and in other parts of Scripture, there's this call to always remember who God is.
Mm. The second thing we're called to remember is we're called to remember what God has done. Mm. So we see this in creation. He's created us and he's called us good. We also see this in the Exodus when God rescued his people from slavery and brought them to the promised land. And for us today, we see that through Jesus, because he saved us through Jesus and through his sacrifice.
Yeah. Another thing that Scripture calls us to remember is actually who we were before God saved us. That passage from Ephesians chapter 2, I think, captures it. Remember what you were. Remember what you were. We were those who were lost. We were those who were without hope. We were the ones who were lost in our sin, who faced the prospect of eternal death. And yet, that is what we were. And we're called to remember what we were.
Mm-hmm. And the final thing we're called to remember is we're called to remember God's promises.
Yeah.
So he promises us a lot of things through the Bible. We know that he's promised he's going to be with us, that he's forgiven us. He's promised us the Holy Spirit, and that also he'll return later on.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of promises, isn't there? Like there's the promise of who he's made us to be as well. We knew what we were, but who are we now? We are those who have no condemnation to fear. We are those who are called sons and daughters of God. We are those who are redeemed. We are new creations. So there's all these promises that are in Scripture about who we are as well, not just what we were. We remember who we are. And there's a third thing as well that we're called to remember out of Scripture. And not only are we told that God remembers us, that we are called to remember God, but that we're also called to remember others. The Apostle Paul does this often. When he writes a letter to some of the churches, he starts by saying, "I remember you. I remember you in my prayers." So there's this sense of him remembering the people that he's writing to. But then in turn, Paul also says, "Remember me. Remember me in your prayers, but also remember me and the chains that I'm in."
And we see this through Galatians and Hebrews as well. Paul often says that we should remember those who are poor and those who are in prison as well. And we also need to remember that this isn't this mentally remembering these people. It's active. We should be doing so in prayer, in our attitude, making sure we're doing so from love and not from a place of judgment.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into some of the practicalities. How do we actually go about remembering and actually remembering well?
Yeah, so the first way we can remember is through our testimony. So we can do so reflecting on what God has done in our lives, which is some pretty cool stuff, and we can think about the power that God has had through our lives and the power he continues to have. And we can do so as well from a place of joy and thanksgiving for what he's done.
Yeah, I think for me this is one of the joys in our church when we do open mic. There's this sense of testimonies being shared that people are actually telling of and reminding us of what God is doing. Not only what God has done in their lives, but also that God is active today, that he is continuing to be at work in people's lives. Yeah, so that testimony, I think, is a really big part of it. Another way in which we improve our memory, in which we remember God, is actually through worship. The experience of worship itself, by telling God who he is, we remind ourselves, but we're also reminding others of God's greatness, of God's goodness, of all that he's done and all who he is. And so this worship experience is such an important part of us actually remembering. And I think that's one of the things about corporate worship, that when we gather together, that actual act of gathering together in worship is an act of remembering who God is and reminding ourselves of who God is and reminding one another of who God is as well.
Another way we can remember God is by walking in step with the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So like the rainbow was the reminder for Noah, the Holy Spirit is our reminder of who God is. It's our inbuilt reminder, which is, I think, is amazing. And I'm really thankful that God's done that for us.
Yeah. I think coming back to the worship aspect, I think one of the other ways in which we can remember things is to actually build in celebrations, or I don't like the word rituals, but sometimes it can almost be a ritual, things that we do that remind us again, of who God is and what he's done for us. Christmas is an easy illustration. Christmas reminds us that God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. When we celebrate Easter, we're reminded that Christ died for our sins, that God's love for us was so strong that he would allow his son to be killed for us. Again, if we look through the scriptures, we have all the celebrations of God's people. And those celebrations were to remember the Passover, or to remember their coming out of slavery. To remember God's goodness in providing the harvest and food for them. So there's this constant celebration, this constant gathering together to actually remember what God has done. So they're a really big part of it as well.
The final way we can go about remembering is to meditate on God's word, and to view it as this alive and active word of God. And to do so, we can also mentally remember the verses. I know that that can be very significant as well. But it's not just mentally remembering them, but using those words in the way that we pray, the way that we treat others, the blessings we pour out on people as well. I think that can be a very powerful way of helping us to remember what God has done in the lives of the people in the Bible, and bringing that into our life as well.
Yeah. So we've come to the end of where we were going to go with this passage, this message. But I just think as we finish, I'd love to know, in writing and preparing this sermon, what stood out for you? What's been like the greatest encouragement or challenge to you?
Yeah, I think I was really challenged with the whole idea of remembering being in action. I think I can find it very easy to mentally remember that God is good when things are going wrong. But if I'm not actively taking that into my life, then there's not really an impact. And so I was very challenged to make sure that when I'm feeling myself weighed down by worry and things, not just remembering mentally that God is good, but choosing that joy and choosing to push the worries out of my mind and to pray and to give that to God, so that I can actively remember as a whole remembrance of who God is.
Yeah.
What challenged you, Steve?
I think definitely that one. I do have a good memory, but I need to make sure I act on what I remember as well. But the other thing that really stood out for me, and I think it's related to being back in lockdown again, is just the importance of the gathered component of memory in terms of when we gather for worship, when we gather to share testimony, when we gather around God's word as a community, that it actually builds our memory. It actually causes us to remember what God has done and causes us to remember who he is. And so for me, it was probably the challenge that, you know, as we go down into lockdown and just as it's harder to gather, just the ways in which we continue to engage with one another, encourage one another, and as we can, just encourage one another to actually remember all that God is and all that he's done for us. Yeah. Thank you so much for being, putting together this sermon, and I've really enjoyed doing that with you today, and I trust it'll be a real blessing to everybody. What we're going to do now is step into a time of remembering through one of the celebrations we do, and that is to share in communion. And so we're just going to pause for a minute. We're going to gather our bread and the cup, and we'll come back and lead you through a time of communion. Thank you so much. One of the things that Jesus asked us to do was to take two really simple elements, the bread and the cup, and to remember him as we took those things. In the Gospel of Luke, it says this, that Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you."
I think Paul also gives us a really good challenge in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, he says, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." I think this is a really good challenge for us to be self-examining ourselves as we step into communion, to be at a time of remembering what's happened, but also how we are going to move forward and what we need to give to God. So as we go into a time of communion, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for remembering us, for seeing us in our despair, brokenness and sin, and for stepping in and sending Jesus. Lord, help us to remember you, to remember the sacrifice, the cost Jesus paid for our freedom, and to remember the grace you so freely give. Help us to remember in action, to live as saved children, to have this as our identity, the forefront of our minds. May it be ingrained in our memory that is also so ingrained in our actions. Help us to act as your Son did, to remember your love for others, to reach out and share it, and to use the gifts you've given us to bless others. Father, prompt us each. Speak to us what you want us to remember. May we be convicted of the parts of you and of our faith that we choose to ignore and forget. Father, help us to remember your goodness, love and grace, and may we find joy, peace and purpose in doing so. Amen.
Well, thanks, Steve, and thanks, Kayla. How timely for us to be reminded of remembering who God is, remembering what he's done, and remembering one another. And I'm just really mindful, you know, as they talked about, just that place of remembering is sharing those stories with one another of what God has done. And so as Ben has shared your story of what God did in youth ministry, just want to invite you to share your story of what God has done in your life. We would love to hear that. You're welcome to post that on the Facebook, church Facebook page, or you can email it to us and we'll put it in a little section in the newsletter. But we would love to be able to share together, to remember together, to encourage one another.
Yeah, and as Kayla and Steve were sharing just about that idea of remembering others, especially in this season where it's quite hard to be connected with others, just want to encourage you, invite you to be really actively remembering people. So this week, as people cross your mind, like, let's be asking, like, how can we connect in with them this week? Maybe it's not in person, but can I give them a call? Can I give them a text? Check in with people, but also to stay connected myself in this season.
And I do want to say too, just thank you to everyone who continues to give to the work of God's kingdom through PBC. We really appreciate that. Ways that you can give just are on your screen here. And just finally, many of us are disappointed that the art installation was locked down as well. But we're really hoping that restrictions will ease. Pray with us into that, that restrictions will ease and that we might be able to go through the art install from the 10th. For a couple of weeks, but all subject to where we go. God bless you and have a great week.